Jackson trying to escape and run for it, and he's got it more. Lamar Jackson down the sideline. Will they give it to him? They will. Touchdown, Baltimore.
And with 1:17 left to play on Wild Card Weekend, the Hayes in the Barn.
Oh my God! I wish you guys could. I wish we had a camera in here so you could see what we're doing. We're just a bunch of clowns in here.
How much fun is that?
All right, welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Friday, April 5th. I don't know what that
April
was.
April 5th?
You've totally fucking threw me off there, too, by the way.
Just one woo, and we're crumbling.
It is Friday.
This one's going to go downhill fast.
Yeah, listen, that woo just totally got in my dome. it's Friday, April 9th. My name is Jake Luke. I'm joined in the studio by a very disruptive, giggly Spencer Nathaniel Schultz to my right, who let's just be honest. I'm a little peeved at right now after that.
Got a little peeve.
People aren't saying that enough. Did you hit your pen before you came in here, or what's going on?
No. I'm just
your pen that might or might
day.
Not
so
exist.
Actually, I've been saving this for this episode. So today, opening day, Orioles get smacked, whatever. Bullpen sucks, can't stop striking out. Still kind of sick, but whatever. I drive to go meet some buddies at High Tops in
a fine little establishment.
I guess that's Timonium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lutherville Timonium. So I go to High Tops. I have a gentleman on the back of my phone that is a pop socket and wallet, which took me a long time.
Didn't they used to call you the pop socket in college?
Oh, I used to pop lock and socket.
Speaking of which, just absolutely struggling to get this Stella.
I don't know if you noticed, but I broke this Stella.
No, I did. Yeah. Weird.
Anyway, so I go to High Tops, drive there, great mood. Had like my sixth interview with this company today and talked to the CEO. I ended up playing the CEO in chess on my phone during the interview. Two games. He beat me in 13 moves the first one because we were like, I've never talked to someone on the phone while I'm playing them. And he like got me in a corner, did something weird. He was ranked way higher than me, whatever, so he beats me. So this interview goes like 45 minutes past how long it's supposed to, and it's literally just me and him talking about chess on the phone while we're playing each other on our phones on chess.com. Very great interview. Anyway, so I'm pretty good mood after that. Then I'm like, all right, I'm going to go beat my buddy and go to High Tops. And lo and behold, I get there, and this little pop, lock, and socket I have on the back of my phone, I usually have my debit card, one credit card, and my license. And I put like extra cards in there because I like got one in the mail and something else. So I get there, I sit down, we're sitting on the beautiful back patio at High Tops.
Was there just a lot of beautiful babies back there?
A lot of beautiful babies. And
look at all the beautiful honeys out here.
Oh, yeah, all out here at High Tops, out here in Timonium. And so I, ask for a Miller. What do you have on draft? Can I get a Miller Lite? You know, just a cold, fresh one. And boy, oh boy, I didn't really drink last weekend or anything. It's 70, probably 73 degrees outside. Beautiful. It's opening day. I'm there with a couple buddies. And this is going to be a good Miller Lite. Like, this is going to be a cold, crispy one. So, yeah, can I see your ID? Yeah, of course. Pop it out. Guess what? ID's not there. Give her the look of like, I don't have my ID. Me.
I'm 27 years old.
27 years old, wearing not like, come on. Like, if I shave my face, people say I look like a baby, but like, I don't have my face shaved right now. I'm 235 pounds. I'm a grown fucking man. Pretty much. As close as you can get, at least.
You're a physically and in age a grown man.
Yes. And and so I give her the look of like, she's like, I'm sorry. That's the one rule we have here. And
well,
that's the one rule that this restaurant has. Oh, you have to have your ID. No fucking shit.
It's right near Towson. So they kind of like, if you're in
I know
college
I went
town,
there and I would go there while I was in school, whatever. That's like, people don't go there when they're underage though. You go there when you're 22. You go there when you're 22. Like when you're done with the scene in Towson, you like start migrating to High Tops and you're downtown all the time and stuff, whatever. But like, I'm there with buddies. All of them are 27 years old. None of them are young. They're all literally exactly my age. Graduated from high school with one of them, and the other two went to another high school, same age. I didn't order Jager bombs. ordered a fucking Miller Lite on opening day. It's sunny outside. It's goddamn COVID's not over with yet. Like,
no, it's not. Which maybe that's what you get for stepping out of the house in these uncertain
and
times.
Sitting outside. And so, of course, I give her the look. No, that's the one rule we have. Like, really, lady, that's the rule that you have here, that high tops. That's the rule everywhere in the fucking world. But can you get me a beer, please? Like, can you please just get me a beer? Can you please just get me a beer? Please.
By the sound of it, she couldn't.
Yes, of course not. So I go look in the car. Of course, it's not there. So after I just drove there, it's 33 minutes-ish. Not that bad, but like... Then I'm listening to the game on the radio. I get home, can't find it. Then I have to go through and order one online. And then, you know, it just fucking sucked. Okay. It just really sucked. I literally sit down. I'm thinking about this beer that I'm going to have. Like, it's hot outside. Like, it's actually kind of hot. Like, AC had to be on. It was hot. I sit
just
down.
Just trying to run into a couple cold beers. Head down.
I'm just thinking about that fresh, cold, delicious beer. Lo and behold, I will never be going back to High Tops.
Stop it.
I'm never going there again in my life. And it doesn't matter. That doesn't affect them. They're not going to miss my business. They have millions of dollars, whatever. But fuck that. Give me a Miller. I didn't ask for Jaeger bombs. I asked for a Miller Lite. So I'm not going back.
I mean, listen, when these times are a little more certain.
I'll go back.
When these times and they get the band going, I can't wait to get on that awkwardly placed dance floor and throw my ass in a circle because I love High Tops.
Sweat.
Yeah, just chinos.
Your food is above average.
Just chinos rubbing up against, you know.
Their food is above average. Their drinks are great. They have great crushes. But, like, that woman didn't know, like, how good that beer was going to be for me and how much I needed that beer. And to just stab me in the fucking heart because I don't have my stupid driver's license on opening day on the patio outside. I wasn't asking for 16 tequila shots, ma'am.
I'll do you one better. I was absolutely buried in work today. Like, it was nuts. We've had people out, so like for my day job, and it's been a very busy week, and I was having a tough one today, and friend of the show Vasilios hit me up literally out of nowhere just last minute, like, hey, dude, extra ticket to opening game. Do you want to go? And I had to turn it down.
Oh, my God.
Because I had like six different like phantom threads going on that I had to keep pulling and like figure out for work. So just buried. So it was tough. But, you know, we had the opening round of the greatest sporting tournament in the world going on today, the Masters. So
Masters was sweet. Weird round. Very strange round so far. Mr. Rose just absolutely smoking.
Shout out to all the homies at Team Rose. Justin Rose leading the way with a -7, one of probably the better rounds of golf ever played, some might say. Just absolutely.
What was DJ? -16 under?
No. Last year he was 20 under.
20 under, wow,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was the golf course was playing much softer.
But to do it how he did it today was more impressive than what
it's playing.
Well, DJ did it for 3 days, but
yeah, it's playing firm and fast. It's got some teeth out there, so it's gonna be something. So I mean, it was something today. So great watch today. It's my favorite sporting time of the year. Baseball getting going. I mentioned on the pod we did earlier that parents, you know, living with the folks right now, and they are hooked up to Dish, who is in a little bit of a dispute with a company called Masson, who's having their own issues. And I can't watch Orioles games, so I can only listen to our friends over the radio network. And I actually wanted to bring in this full circle. You mentioned chess. I actually was listening in my car the other day, and I think it was like Jeff Arnold or somebody was talking about how they were getting into the chess game. And I wanted to like send you a Snapchat of it or something, but the moment passed too quickly. I figured you would appreciate that.
Chess is just the most infuriating game that exists. But like you have to reach a certain point where you're like, this is not, I'm getting so angry that this is not fun. Like, do I want to keep playing? Yes. Okay. I'm going to stop getting mad now. And like now I'm not getting mad anymore, but oh my God, like I have issues. I have issues. Like Madden, I used to rage really bad. Call of Duty can get me going. PUBG could get me going a little bit. PUBG never pissed me off that much, but
Call of Duty and Battlefield were the only ones that really got my blood pumping.
There's just stupid stuff that happens.
Yeah.
There's stupid stuff.
Yeah.
But Madden could get me pretty good. Madden could get me really going. But so I've settled back in. CEO, he smoked me pretty good. Smoking pretty good.
Damn, dude. That's got to be tough for your
I
prospects.
Beat him the second game.
Is that going to be good or bad for your prospects? Did you let him win?
I think he enjoyed it a lot. I think he really liked it. Like, he was rated way higher than me, and he beat me. So it, like, made sense. But I got him the second game. So someone higher than me beat him up a little bit. And, yeah, so we'll see how it is.
Okay. Well, that was quite a start. We're 9 minutes into this podcast. We are in an interesting spot with the Baltimore Ravens right now. For everyone you know, maybe the few people that are tuning in to hear us talk about that kind of stuff. I got plenty of questions from listeners that we're going to be touching on, but just wrapped up our Beatdown Big Board episode that is going to be releasing on Tuesday on the wide receiver. Absolute Mondo episode, Big Veiny Triumphant Bastard. That's going to be dropping on Tuesday, hour and a half on wide receivers, so get excited for that.
The Big Veiny Triumphant Bastard. Yeah, we went through there. That one was a little bit more loosey-goosey, kind of just talking guys, talking about guys we think might make an impact, and it's just tough because at the end of the day, there's going to be, you know, if this is the best wide receiver class of all time, we can rattle off 15 guys, Dwayne Eskridge, Sage Surratt, freaking all Nico Collins. Probably only seven of them are ever really impact players, so it's tough to kind of wade through and see how that happens, but we did our best there, and yeah, we hope you guys enjoy that episode coming out on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. But other than that,
we got to get some interviews going ahead of the draft. We got to get some.
Yeah, I've been looking into that. I think we've been a little quieter on that front because of the Big Board episodes for anyone.
One gentleman I won't name has stiffed me twice. On like he gives me one response and then he stiffs me the second. I send something, he responds, stiffs me back.
You never like to get stiffed by any gentleman.
No, not any cold stiff ones today.
No, but yeah, I've been in touch with some people. We've been a little quieter on that front because of the Big Board series kind of running. But yeah, I think it'll be good to get back into that once we need kind of more of a two-episode a week recording on different days type of format. So definitely going to be getting back into that. I've been in touch with some of the friends of the show you might recognize, and maybe we'll be reaching out to some other people we haven't had on quite yet. But it's a fun time of year in that regard. I love kind of talking to the draft experts, whether it's before or after. I really enjoy that.
Getting some different flavors, getting some good takes and chopping it up. So we'll be trying to bring those out. Big boy style, monster style coming soon. But fun times, Orioles not having fun times. When's the next F1?
I think 2 weeks, yeah. 2 weeks. Or maybe even just one at this point. Weeks. But yeah, they opened it up and then it was 3 weeks after. So that was a fun opening race in F1 standards. Excited to see the race between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, if that does indeed take place. If the opening race was any indication, it's going to maybe coming down to the wire and maybe coming down to Lewis getting a couple of lucky breaks. But that's what you gotta anticipate if you're Red Bull. You gotta juice it up a little bit this year. Let's get it going,
Christian.
But plenty of that, plenty of other stuff. I realized we really didn't touch on Sammy Watkins like too much at all. And that's something that I kind of like, we don't have to go too deep into it, but like maybe just as far as like
we've
now,
had some time to chew on it.
Exactly. It's been, you know, maybe 2 weeks at this point, maybe even just one.
I think it's been just about 2 weeks. I think it was two Fridays ago.
Yeah, and it just felt like I didn't want to do like an emergency pod. I didn't want to do like an in-depth analysis episode, but I feel like just kind of sitting here right now in the moment, it might be good to sit down and talk a little bit about that signing, about the terms of the deal, which I don't even have pulled up in front of me.
1 year, $5 million guaranteed with bonuses up to six, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me see if I can find that.
And yeah, so now we had some comments from Juju actually that came out today.
Fuck that guy. That guy.
Comments from Juju basically that he's curious to see what happens with Sammy Watkins and the Ravens offense. Basically, the Ravens are a run heavy team with really good running backs. And Lamar's number one target is Mark Andrews, who had less targets than Hollywood Brown. Maybe they were within like three of each other. I think it was like 100 and 103 or something like that. So he's curious to see what happens with Sammy Watkins, but basically if he didn't choose the Steelers, he would have chosen the Chiefs. He also mentioned, he was like, it would have been tough to swallow playing for a division rival, which I understand. And I think it was kind of weird that the Ravens went after him like that as well, because that's pretty unusual. But, the Ravens did poach Mike Wallace. I think Mike Wallace didn't come directly from Pittsburgh to Baltimore.
No, he went to the Dolphins on that big contract.
And he had a 1,000-yard year.
He was okay in Miami. It didn't work out because like they paid him a lot of money. He wound up in Minnesota following that.
Right.
He was there for a year or two, I think, and then he went to the Ravens in 2016.
I don't think I can. LJ Fort played for the Steelers, but not like he was like a huge deal.
He played for like six teams before he came to Baltimore.
Yeah, Eagles was the last team before. Who else? Chris Wormley traded.
Yeah, from here to there.
Right. But so yeah, leads to Sammy Watkins, and you know, I don't know. Maybe people have, I had a couple mixed reactions. I was kind of talking about Sammy Watkins. Like, basically what the Chiefs asked him to do was just work across the middle of the field and be a big boy. Like, he's a big receiver. He has like thick legs, big butt, thick build, and he gets downhill in the run game pretty quickly. Not a contested catch guy, but very physical. The one thing when I was rewatching him is that he's physical at the stem. He pushes off. He likes to, when he runs a curl route, he really likes to do the Michael Jordan guide you past him and then turn around, that guide hand to push you away and use your momentum to help him throttle down.
Which is an all-time swag move if you're a receiver.
For sure.
It's tour sauce.
I would love, I give someone who pushes off versus someone who doesn't, give me the guy who pushes off 10 times out of 10. Like, this is a man's game. You can't be bringing that weak shit as a veteran receiver. And that's why veteran receivers are needed, because they know that and they've been able to prove that successfully. So at this point, Sammy Watkins can run after the catch better than, you know, a Seth Roberts or a Willie Snead. He is definitely more dangerous after the catch. He works the scramble drill really well. He's top 10 in each of the last 2 years in broken play targets and receptions. According to SIS, broken play meaning he ran a route and he ended up getting targeted after that route was well over, because Patrick Mahomes runs around and makes plays. You know, all the leading receivers were like Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, Stephon Diggs this year, DeAndre Hopkins. Basically, if you play with Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, or Deshaun Watson, those guys, you're going to be dealing with some broken plays. So I think he'll help Lamar out on scramble drills very much. So be a physical presence in the middle of the field. And if you go back and watch that Super Bowl, I mean, you can see the prowess that he has, understanding the game, understanding space, and how to release and do some different things. But he had some interesting comments at his presser this week. And about basically, he knows he basically said he gets hurt because he goes too hard. And
then listen, that's an all time like spin zone. Like, I work too hard. I care too much. And sometimes I get too invested in my job.
I work too hard. I have to drink in order to do well at work. I have to get fucked up on the weekend.
Oh man.
That's basically Sammy Watkins. But he said that he believes the Ravens will do a good job.
Basically, he had a great press conference.
Basically, he was like trying to coerce the Ravens into letting him off of practice secretly, I think.
Which is sick. Like,
But at this point, you played 8 years in the NFL. Like, you need to practice and go through the offseason and things. But if that's true, he gets hurt in practice and gets banged up going too hard, then ramp it down, man. It's not a game.
Yeah,
practice.
Yeah, I was chatting with Justin Bopp, who's like one of our main guys at like Mothership SB Nation. He was like, yeah, Sammy's like great for like 8 games, and like that's all you're going to get. And that kind of does seem to be the sort of overall thoughts of Chiefs fans, and I think maybe, you know, maybe even Ravens fans as well, myself, maybe to an extent. But I don't know. Like, it was just kind of, I think the reason we didn't touch on it extensively is, like I mentioned, like, it's just, it's not really this out of this world kind of Super Bowl move, is kind of a term that you would be using.
I think
using.
It's a better Seth Roberts kind of move. Like, I don't think they're terribly similar players, but I think they'll have somewhat of a similar role.
Yeah, I think he could maybe give you a little bit more than that, maybe a little bit, hopefully more than like a Willie Snead, who was great, but he's gone now, and you're going to need more than that. And like, the thing is, like, I like the fit. I had been even saying back during the season he'd be a good fit. It's all great, but like, availability is a skill. He has not shown a great ability
it's
to
so
show.
Weird because he's never missed a full season.
Yeah, which
I think, or
no, he hasn't. You're right. I think the most he's missed is maybe
eight games.
8 games, yeah. So
he misses like 5 to 8 games a year. But
which
it's
is,
never like
which
that
is
bad.
But you would almost want him to have that one ACL, and then it's just that's that, and like maybe he'll have some nagging stuff here and there, but he is kind of that nagging guy where it's like it's just an issue every
it's
year.
It's been groin, it's been shoulder, it's been ribs, it's been hamstring, it's been foot. He has the Ravens' rite of passage. The screws were in his foot at one point. Him, Hollywood Brown, Jimmy Smith, and new tight end Josh Oliver all had the old screws in the foot.
Do you think like Mink and Downing have screws in their feet?
Oh my God, they're bolt boys.
That'll be kind of sick. I don't know why, but I was just thinking randomly of this one video Mink did with Flacco, where he like ran a route and Flacco like fired a ball at him and he just fucking totally whiffed on it.
I never saw that.
I love Ryan, but that was funny. I mean, like, it was supposed to be.
I can imagine his comments. He was like, it was too high or something.
And he was. He went up to him after. He was like, yeah, I thought it was like an okay throw. He's like looking like 3 feet up at him. He's like, yeah, pretty good throw, right? It was good.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he is.
But Sammy Watkins, yeah, not a Super Bowl move, but a better than what you had move. I think it's, you know, it allows Devin Duvernay to take over what Willie Snead was doing to an extent and allows there to be another horse on the outside besides Boykin and playing that kind of ISO receiver, that big body role and working the tough yards and things like that. So hopefully it's good for pushing Boykin to be better and to get his focus right if he wants to get on the field and prove in year three that he is worthy of, you know, getting a big second contract in Baltimore or somewhere else. So it's kind of shit or get off the pot time amplified for him. I think Dez Bryant helped in that sense a little bit with, you know, some competition, breeding success. When Dez was brought in, it felt like Miles started to step it up and know that he had to make the most out of his limited opportunities. So I feel like that's going to be the case even more. And Sammy had some comments. I mean, he's like, you know, blame Greg Roman all you want. I came here because of Greg Roman and Keith Williams, and I was going back and watching, and guys weren't getting open. And I think Marquise Brown got open a lot. Mark Andrews got too much attention to consistently really get open. And then other than that, like, you know, Boykin had his moments away from plays, but it's not, you know, not guys just kind of running downfield and leaving guys in the dust and giving them the old shimmy shake and releasing out of their minds or anything. So Watkins is going to go be physical and pick up first downs, get yards after the catch. And I think Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews are a poor man's Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And so Watkins kind of fits in there with that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a move I think we both like. We're not necessarily over the moon. We still want to see them do something in the draft or maybe a trade. We'll see what happens on that front. Anthony Miller getting floated by the Bears right now. So, listen, we'll see. He could be one of many targets. But I guess that is all we have on those guys if you want to jump into questions.
Let's do it.
First one coming from Wooketh Nooketh. Fuck, marry, kill. Thanos, Chris Davis, Russell Westbrook. He follows up with, I don't know, man. So he doesn't even know. I feel like I'm marrying Chris Davis. He's kind of that all-American, kind of clean-cut guy.
Dude, he loves Sean Harbaugh, too.
He does, exactly. Dude, they're just so solid, man. His dip is just like a mile out. He's just like talking to Trey. Harbaugh is just...
That was low-key the funniest thing of the offseason.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was really good. Thanos has those cheeks.
Thanos
has that bubble butt.
He's got mega cheeks. He's got Mike Mayock is just salivating looking at Thanos.
I love me some Russell Westbrook, but he's ugly, man.
Yeah, he's Russell Westbrook. He's just doing too much too. Like, I don't want to have to deal with him. I love him, but like, I don't want to have to deal with him personally.
I don't want to marry him because he's giving that dirty look all the time. Like, he's giving that stank face all the time. I don't like want to like have to do the dishes and then he like looks at me like that when I don't.
Yeah, it's.
Like, I don't want to have to deal with that.
A very passive aggressive household that's going to be.
Yeah.
So or bedroom.
I love Russell Westbrook. He's one of my favorite basketball players. I love the way he absolutely slammed.
You're big in on the Wiz right now too.
I'm in a bit.
Which is great. I want to be more in on them, honestly. I was big in them in like the peak Wall era and when I was in college and they had Paul Pierce that one year, which
Trevor Ariza,
friend of the show, Paul Pierce, we may or may not have an announcement about him joining Baltimore Beatdown in the coming weeks. You know, he's looking for employment, so we're efforting him
that
to maybe.
That was so incredible. Like, he did that, like, he was just messed up and went on live, right? Like,
yeah, you have to think so.
But did he originally think that he was on a call with someone? It sounded like he was telling someone to come here.
Probably, yeah. He's one of those older dudes that like takes selfies with like not smiling, sitting in like a recliner, and like thinks that's like an acceptable Facebook.
Kind of like Ed Reed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, kind of. But like
old heads. That's an
yeah,
old
yeah, sort of. But like, they're just tech savvy enough to like figure all the social media stuff out.
I think he thought he was calling a stripper. And then he like realized he was on live and he was just hyped like at that point and didn't care anymore.
He just kind of had to play it off like he meant to do it on purpose. So yeah, I mean, that's our Paul Pierce segment.
That's our Paul Pierce segment. Dave Portnoy just obliterating another poor girl.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to
near
that.
Near Fatality, Mortal Kombat movie coming out soon starring Dave Portnoy.
And those two guys.
I'm excited for the new Mortal Kombat movie.
And yeah, Paul Pierce probably going to be joining Barstool by the sound of it. So just a couple threads just linking up there. Just two guys who really have it together.
Making shockwaves.
Yeah.
Getting wet. getting wetter than Michael Phelps.
Oh my God.
On an even year.
I hate even that.
Even though they're odd this year.
That is so yucky.
It's an odd year this year. The Olympics low key about to happen.
Well, yeah, because they had to push it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryder Cup.
I'm a big Olympics guy.
Yeah, me too. I like the Olympics.
Big Olympics guy.
Ryder Cup back to odd years too. It's coming in.
No basketball, I guess.
Yeah. Ben Rose, whole steamed crabs or crab cakes? I myself am more of a crab cake guy solely because it's more dinner friendly or diner friendly, he says.
Like crab, like eating crab doesn't, is like, they're not even the same. Like you can't even compare
them. They're nerdy. Yeah. I feel like
eating actual crab, like picking crabs is not to fill up on.
No, it's just for the taste. It's for the vibe. It's for like it's having a nice cold beer, get the newspapers out. It's an experience.
Get the papers.
I'm going to go get the papers. And then he's just,
Johnny two times?
Yeah, Jimmy two times.
Jimmy two times.
Yeah. It's too many Jimmies. But yeah, I would say definitely like if I had to pick to eat one, I would probably say crab cake. But like I just kind of like the vibes of like, hey, we're going to get a bushel of crabs and we're just going to mate. We're going to do
it. They can really hit different. Really can hit different. Crab cakes, I think, I honestly think I'm sick of crab cakes a little bit.
You know what? Like, I actually had a shout out to Reader's Crab House. I had a little soft shell crab for dinner tonight.
Soft shell crab sandwiches, I can really get down with. I love a good crab cake sandwich.
They're good. They're kind of in the middle. They're right in the middle of, you get the crunch and also like the good taste of the.
Yeah. I got one when I was like 9 years old. I hated it so much, but now I'll smash those. With like, I like when there's a little sauce on them too. Like a little like.
It's the favorite fruit of Jim Halpert, actually.
Is it? Are you sure?
Yeah. The
sure about that, Dwight?
The episode where he almost transfers to Maryland. He says, "Soft shell crab just so happens to be my favorite food." And he's like making a really funny face at the camera and doing this, and his hair is like.
Let's just make a mockumentary.
And he's down bad. Yeah, we could.
Fun fact: mockumentaries were banned from Towson Electronic Media and Film. You can't make them because apparently there was like 5 straight years of kids trying to make mockumentaries.
Well, yeah, you were probably there like peak office too, so like people are trying to piggyback.
Not allowed. Not allowed. Banned at Towson.
B Rose follows up with kind of an interesting one. What does Matt Elam's career look like if he was used solely as a box safety from the start?
The exact same, because he didn't have work ethic.
Yeah, I think that's what it came down to. That was like a big storyline when he first started out, because they had that other dude there, I think.
Will Hill?
It was like Darian Stewart. He might have been after he got drafted.
Yeah. Darian Stewart was more of
a James Ahedibo was actually really good in 2013, so he was kind of playing that strong safety
role. Pollard, Ahedibo, Will Hill. And Kendrick Lewis was back there at one point.
Yeah, that was 2015. It was weird because he
sucked at tackling.
Yeah.
And he also sucked at tackling.
Like, yeah, he had multiple.
I'm sorry, I usually don't say this. Matt Elam sucked. Like, he was fucking awful.
Yeah, and like it was to the point where T. Sizzle had that all-time quote where he's like, you got to force him. If you're not going to go for the tackle, you have to force him to the side. Like, the sidelines never miss the tackle. Like,
he was missing a consistent amount of tackles. He had like a couple okay games. Think like in a second year or something.
The Monday night game where Tucker kicks 6 field goals, he had the game winning interception on Stafford, which was the only play he ever made as a Raven.
Yeah. And that was
2013. It was 2013. It was his rookie year, yeah. It was the Calvin Johnson game when he called Calvin Johnson old, and then Calvin Johnson got all in his feelings and he's like, I'm gonna fuck this kid up. And then Calvin Johnson went out there and dropped like 4 passes, and in an awful game, Justin Tucker kicks 6 field goals. Matt Elam seals the win with an interception. Against Calvin Johnson. It was one of the funnier, like, cool games that you remember in and otherwise.
Yeah, being a Lions fan must really be a tragic experience.
Yeah, like, it was. And Calvin Johnson in that reaction shot of all those guys when Justin Tucker makes the field goal, like, it's like 61 yards.
And he, like, goes and picks his helmet up all sullen because he has to go back out on the field.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my gosh. It's a mega tough scene for our guy, Calvin.
Mega, mega, mega tough, Calvin.
Jaren F. Any specific day 3 prospects you guys think could be NFL stars in the right situation for the Ravens or any team? Also, y'all have probably mentioned before, but any good starting resources for anyone who wanted to dabble in in-depth football film study? Well, I think we're looking at one.
SIS Rookie Handbook. Yeah, it has some good info in there to get started, but I would definitely say we start out just like watching some coaching clinics, Lincoln Riley or Steve Sarkisian.
Shout out to Lincoln for putting himself right into the fire with putting his brisket out there for everyone to see and critique on Twitter.
That was, yeah. There's been a lot of brisket critiquing going on. Brisket's getting too popular, I think.
We were talking about this, I think, recently, but once you get to our age, like, you start to get into that sect of Twitter where it's like dudes that are well into their 30s and they all have like green eggs and Traegers, and like it's basically just their personality, which is, it's sick. I'm sure that'll be me at some point, but it's very much a little too much to the point where
I'm a cast iron guy. All right.
I like
to cook a steak on the cast iron, and that's it.
You do you. I'm still young enough to be undecided, so I'm going to hang on to that as long as possible. But Lincoln Riley got absolutely eviscerated, but sounds like he has some good coaching clinics, as some of the resources you were discussing there.
Coaching clinics. Just learn a lot about coverage.
Still working my way through that Bill Belichick Sr. book, or is it Stephen Belichick?
It's Steve Belichick.
Yeah, Steve Belichick. Bill Belichick's dad wrote basically a starter kit type deal for scouting. You don't really need to read all of that's in there, because like it gives you like actually like how to be a college scout, where it's like telling you where to go in the press box and stuff. You don't really need that, but there's good info in there as far as like what to look for.
And then Cody Alexander, I believe is his name. It's a coach. Cody Alexander has a lot of, I would recommend his Match Quarters book or The Making of a Modern Defense. He's written quite a bit, but I would recommend, if you want to learn about football, I think the easiest thing to start learning about is coverage and what the basic coverages are. 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, 6. And then I think you can start to learn about that. Then you learn about DB play. You start to learn about receivers that way. Once you learn about the coverages, then you can kind of work up to linebackers and understanding what linebackers are doing. And then you want to kind of start looking at run fits and run fills and different fronts, even odd things like that. And you just kind of go back to front, and then it transfers to offense. I think it's a little easier to learn about defense and coverages and how those work. And you start to realize, like, a lot of times receivers are just reading coverage and sitting down against zone and things. And it's not, you know, as like as mano a mano of a game as you think it is. It's all very cerebral and coaches working that way. But learn coverages, learn all the coverages, learn them until the point where every time you see a play, you can pretty much understand what the shell was at least of it, or what you're looking at, and go back to front, because line play is way quicker and more advanced. You know, understanding why guys are shooting and angling and doing different things in the fronts and how they align and stuff. That stuff's a little bit more complicated, but I think get familiarized with coverage and work that way.
There's this one dude who's a little maybe too under the radar on Twitter that I really like. His at is at @danorlovsky7. I think it's Dan Orlovsky is the pronunciation. He's just a really great resource for somebody who wants to get into the just nitty gritty of the game and really break down stuff like Carson Wentz and Baker Mayfield and why they are the next coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Justin Fields stinks because he's stinks.
If you want to hear about bad work ethic and not being able to get to your second read, you want to check that account out.
Todd McShane. Jesus.
Todd. We're talking about Dan Orlovsky's tremendous analysis. Got the terrible haircut, doing the fade. Got a lot of guys not really doing that anymore. Switching over to the butt cut. Okay, like, as you can see here, Spencer.
I'm eating some pumpkin pie with a side of low-fat whipped cream for breakfast every single morning.
Getting out of their Growls Market down there at Timodium's out in Parkville with Mel Kiper Jr. My Mel's pretty good.
Mel's pretty good. Yeah, so be Mel Kiper.
Yeah, we love Mel. In all seriousness, so yeah, check him out.
Mel's the best.
DJ and K. If the Ravens were to trade up, who are they taking? I'm aware that would be highly aggressive, and I can dream. LOL. # Ravens flock. # Dream Chaser.
Who have they traded up for? Have they ever?
Not met.
I mean, they traded up back in to get Lamar,
but they had already traded down.
Yeah.
Flacco, they traded up for in that sense.
They traded up for Flacco.
They tried to trade up for Jalen Ramsey. Stood pat.
Tried to trade up for Dez. They made calls about CeeDee. Apparently.
There's a lot of try.
They're not trading up. Fuck this question.
Damn, dude.
They're not trading up. He even said it in the question.
Otavio Mallaire. Would you trade OBJ for Montez Sweat? 2 years plus a fifth-year option left. Then, instead of signing the veteran edge, sign Mitchell Schwartz. That way they go to the draft without glaring needs. Think that will be perfect. WFT has more D-line than they can pay, and no O-line. Good trade for both.
They don't have Ryan Anderson anymore, and they don't have Kerrigan anymore, so I don't think that they need Montez Sweat.
Okay. Brandon Minnett. Yeah, they probably also don't want to get.
They just
rid
have
of him.
Chase Young and Montez Sweat. I don't even know who their primary backup.
Probably who's that one dude? Ioannidis.
He doesn't play edge.
Oh
he's
yeah,
he's like a three tech, one tech, and then they have Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne, but none of them are going to play on the outside.
Okay. Brandon Minnick. I got a bunch of later round guys I've seen that I like that have been available in the fourth round that are better than that. Tay Gowan, corner UCF. Benjamin St. Just, corner Minnesota. Jamin Davis, linebacker Kentucky. Jamar Johnson.
Davis is going like top 40 picks.
Okay. Jamar Johnson, safety Indiana, as you play footsie with me there.
That's tickled you.
Simi Fajeko, receiver Stanford. And this is also kind of funny because Tay Gowan actually likes this tweet. So he's searching his own name. What do you think about that? Does that put his stock up or down?
Down.
Yeah, me too. Come on, Tay.
Tay, do you think you can buy me a bottle of rosé, Tay? Tay Gowan's really good. Jamin Davis is going top 40, guaranteed top 50. He's first-round ish linebacker. I think like Daniel Jeremiah and like Tom McShitt, like those guys are all mocking him in the first round. And I think a lot of their especially like Peter Schrager, like Peter Schrager's mocks are him talking to people and maybe getting fooled a little bit, but like he's making picks based off of what he hears. And I think Jamin Davis is not going to be there in those rounds. Simi, I don't think Simi's going in the first two, definitely not in the first two rounds. Maybe not in the third round. Tay Gowan. Tay Gowan's like all over the place. I can see him being a little bit of a faller. Feels like every, I don't know. He could be like the Geno Stone of this year, where it's like everybody thinks he's a top three, four round guy and he kind of slips a little bit. Gowan's very good. I like Gowan a lot. Frisky, technically sound. Three UCF defensive backs going to get drafted. Gowan, Richie Grant, and Aaron Robinson. So shout out to the national champions.
Shout out to their family. Kevin, what is your opinion on Joseph Asai at 27 and Tylan Wallace at 58?
Asai is just a hard... His combine really fucks with me. He jumped 40, ran 4.6, has super long arms. He just, I don't know. He hustles like no one I've ever seen before. Like he is the number one hustler in this entire draft.
What?
Hustle hard, stack paper. It's nothing. We major. He hustles like no one else in this class. Like he will run 100%. That is a Baltimore Ravens thing. I just don't know. I'm not confident sticking him on the field this year in a full-time role at all. I think he's going to get bullied a lot of the time. He doesn't have the hand placement yet. He runs himself out of plays. I think he would be Bill Belichick would have a field day running at him, I think, early on. But he has tools. He has some mild production. He only played outside linebacker 1 year last year, and like Tevin Jenkins beat his ass. I don't love Osai at 27, but I get the hustle aspect of it. I like him at 58. And then Tylan Wallace, we talk about him on the receiver podcast on the Beatdown Big Board. He's a pro. I feel like he's just a pro, a reliable second, third guy to have on your team. We'll see.
He's just your favorite receiver's favorite receiver. He's just a pro's pro, you know.
He's apropos. Tylan Wallace is. I'm fine with Tylan Wallace at 58. I wouldn't hate that at all.
Yeah. Okay. Orioles Haiku, our boy, says, how many games are your first place Baltimore Orioles winning this season?
I was going to say, I was ready on the hot reactions.
Mine is, I'm cheating a little bit because before the season, I had kind of settled on 60 to 65. I think they could do 70 to 75 at this point.
Their bullpen's really bad and their plate discipline is. Like they're not put. They just set the Major League Baseball record for.
Well, yeah, they're
most
young.
Most consecutive games with at least 13.
They're young and plucky, and they're going to be swinging like crazy. But that lends itself to being very streaky, and I just didn't foresee a ton of or as many good streaks as I do now. And I think Hyde is a very good manager.
So. I think Hyde is a good manager, and I like the top of the order.
Yeah,
Cedric Mullins has been a. Man possessed.
John, like, I don't know how many wins John Means is going to get you, but I think he's going to have a nice season.
He'll have a sub-4 ERA, I think.
Yeah.
I think he'll be in the threes. Just that bullpen and the freaking plate discipline and, like...
It would be really sick if I could fucking watch them, too. Like, that would be a good way for me to analyze this a little bit better. Shout out to Dish. Shout out to Mashlin. Fuck you both. Figure it the fuck out. I'm tired of it.
Unbelievable.
I'm tired. It's 2021. How can I not watch games? What are we doing?
I have ML. I got like the MLB package on my phone too, so I could like watch when I'm not at it, or in front of a TV, and it's blacked out.
No, it's anywhere blacked out. There's a million packages. There's all these things, but there's all these stupid arbitrary rules. It's like, what are we doing?
It's pretty out of control. I'm paying $30 a month, and I basically can only watch it like when I'm home, which is like, why am I watching? I can watch it at home. I don't know.
It's for a sport that, you know, maybe is having some issues connecting to younger generations that crave immediacy, it feels a little weird that we're making it very difficult to watch this sport. Can we figure it out?
All I know is Freddie needs they need a different shortstop. I'm not in on Freddie.
Yeah, I was kind of not in on that to begin with. I didn't even really know that much about him. It just felt like one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's we're really doing this, but
Mountcastle has been
guys smoking.
Having some issues in left field, very much so. He's been getting taken advantage
of. Well, they always have dudes that are fucking hitters but just can't play the field anywhere.
He reminds me of actually, never mind. I was going to make a bad comparison. Okay. But Orioles wins-wise, I want to say they could win 77 games, but I think they win...
I think 75 is my
68.
Number.
68. I'm not giving them 69. 68 wins.
Okay. Interesting. Still below 500, either way you slice it. But I think they're going to be plucky. Stuart Schock, what do you make of Jeff Zeribick's list of guys that the Ravens may be targeting at 27? Which one would you be most happy / unhappy with? So he lists out Rashad Bateman, Zaven Collins, Landon Dickerson, J.C. Horn, Tevin Jenkins, Terrace Marshall, Trevon Moehrig, Azeez Ojulari, Jalen Phillips, Greg Russo. You like J.C. Horn. You're a big Horn dog.
J.C. Horn is... I think J.C. Horn might be the best corner in this class. I think he's my number one corner. So that'd be sweet.
I like Tevin Jenkins a lot.
Tevin Jenkins, this is my question. I have an honest question for the Ravens that I want to ask, but would never even be answered anyway. I want this asked in honesty. Would they take a tackle and play them at tackle that had 33-inch arms? Because Sewell and Slater and Jenkins are all below 34-inch arms. And the last literal 10 tackles the Ravens have drafted have all had at least 34-inch arms, been at least 6'5 and a half. And all of those guys are below that. I think Jenkins might be 6'5 and a half exactly. But they don't meet the arm threshold. And I can't remember, there was a quote by Ravens' former offensive line coach. His name's escaping me. But... he basically, Jared Gaither, and those guys, he just likes the Ravens always take big tackles. So I just have a question about that. Zaven Collins, pisses me off. I don't like the link of him to the Ravens at all. I like Zaven Collins. I don't know what the fit is there. I see him as very, very, very similar to Malik Harrison, and I like Malik Harrison a lot. He didn't play Sam. He says he's a Sam or a Will. I thought he was going to be a Mike, and then he comes out and is like, I'm a Sam or Will. Anthony Barr is a comp that I see for him. I don't think there's a Anthony Barr position on this defense, but I don't know. That one's a weird one for me. Landon Dickerson I would like a lot if he stays healthy. Who else is on there?
Ojulari, I think we both like. Jalen
Phillips. Ojulari is growing on me as time goes on. He's a really structured defender. He is very smart.
He's very technically sound.
Yes.
He's your favorite linebacker's favorite linebacker.
He is your favorite linebacker's favorite linebacker. Made of vibranium.
Yeah, I saw that. Jalen Phillips, definitely. And then he mentions Russo, who I feel like his stonk is kind of slipping a little bit.
Russo is your favorite Raven's favorite Raven.
Right.
He is the versatile chess piece up front, but I don't know. He reminds me a lot of Charles Menehue, and Charles Menehue was someone that was heavily linked to the Ravens. Then what did he say? Elijah Moore and Kadarius Toney?
No, that was it actually.
Oh, he said Moehrig.
Moehrig and Marshall, the other two.
Terrace Marshall.
Yeah. And Bateman, but.
Bateman, we obviously love. Whatever, all those are fine, except I don't love Zaven Collins. I don't really
get. I think Jeff is kind of, he's not just pulling those out of thin air either. I think he would maybe know a little bit.
He knows what kind of players they like, and it's guys that are team captains too, and that play special teams and play with tenacity and hustle and might have some scripture memorized.
Well, yeah, that's a prerequisite, my man. Let me tell you. He's, my guy JH is a big fan of the guy JC and the man upstairs. So you better acquaint yourself.
Whatever. I don't know. All those guys are fine, I guess. I don't really like Collins that much.
We like all prospects. We don't talk about the negatives. We're a solution oriented podcast.
JC Horn would be sweet.
You're such a horn dog.
I'm a horn dog.
Ravens burner. Using the basketball team analogy with the wide receiver group, I'd want to see the team built like Baylor with a bunch of guards causing havoc. And he references Kadarius Toney as the pick that he would want in that regard.
Hey, we like Toney.
He's just a little pest out there. Marcus Chestnut, a couple of interesting ones here. Best places to eat in Baltimore/Owings Mills. Volunteering at Caves Valley in August and need some ideas. Hey, Marcus, hit me up because I'm going to be out there on Saturday, I believe, for the BMW Championship at Caves Valley. Best places to eat around there? There's a lot of good ones. I mean, Owings, but like that's a very big kind of area. So like as far as like an independent spot, I'm trying to think. I don't know if you got anything off the top of your head.
Oh, I don't really. Owings Mills, I don't think I know food spots in that well.
It's kind of a suburban area, so you got a lot of chains, unfortunately, in some respect.
Harriman House, new menu. Have you been?
I was there a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Menu, really good. Jay is the general manager there. I used to work with him at Tark's Grill, okay. Green Spring.
Yeah, I mean, that's Reisterstown. You could do Harriman. That's just a short drive up Reisterstown Road from Owings Mills. So, and probably it's not too far from Caves. My brother actually used to caddy there, so I know.
15, 17 minutes?
Yeah, it's not too bad. So Harriman's a good spot for kind of a local flavor, kind of tavern type deal. It's very nice. Reader's, I mentioned earlier, good seafood, which is right around the corner from Harriman, also Reisterstown. Some really good spots, man. There's
Owings Mills.
You could go out to
Racer Sound Road.
You could go out to like Hunt Valley. It's like kind of probably equidistant from where Caves is. And there's some really good stuff out there. You got like Greystone. I don't know how ritzy you're trying to get, but like Greystone's really nice. Bluestone, like, you know, really nice too. Kind of awkwardly, like both.
There's what's a Woodfire name? Place in Hunt Valley? Woodfire Grill place.
Is it just called Coal Fire?
Coal Fire. Yeah, that place is good.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of good options, my man. Let me tell you. It's a lot of wide-ranging options. I think Andy Nelson's kind of near there, right?
Yeah. Don't go to High Tops.
Please do go to High Tops. Let me look up Andy Nelson's because I feel like that would be a good...
From Caves Valley or Caves Road? Caves Valley.
Yeah, it's right there. It's right off 83. Yeah,
Andy Nelson's is the spot. Get the sides, get the sauce. They've got that good mustard, that good Carolina vinegary sauce.
And if you're a golf fan and you've seen the acclaimed series Strapped, when the No Laying Up boys came to Baltimore, they went to Andy Nelson's and they actually interviewed Andy Nelson in the series.
Andy Nelson, Baltimore Colts, yeah. Savage.
Yeah, so check that out for sure. Then he follows up with, Do you guys think Orlando Brown will be traded on draft day?
If the Chargers can't get... Maybe they'll settle for Darisaw, though. I think if the Chargers can't get... If they can't get Slater or Sewell and they don't want Darisaw, then Orlando Brown for 13. That's my bold predicky.
I would like that a lot. Moving to Japan ASAP, congratulations, says first May signing. What do you think? I've truly no idea. Kerrigan, maybe?
I want to say it's Melvin Ingram.
Okay.
I think they really want Melvin Ingram.
Okay. So you think he's just kind of waiting around?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Skipjack, always the optimist. You think Harbaugh is more bothered by the playoff losses or the fact that everyone hated the gold pants, which were clearly his idea? And then Ravens Birder, who's the big, they're not gold pants, they're mustard pants. He's the big mustard pants guy. He says, some people like it, asshole. And then Skipjack comes back and says, can't believe people are allowed to say this stuff and not go to jail. And then Ravens Birder follows up with a couple American flags, which is one of the more wild interactions I think we've ever had on the mailbag.
Oh, boy. I mean, Harbaugh hates those playoff losses.
Yeah, I think if in this hypothetical world, if he could give up the gold slash Dwight Schrute mustard pants.
If the pants were Harbaugh's idea, he is more upset about that because Harbaugh has somehow been completely void of any blame for any of these playoff losses.
Which is kind of sick, honestly. Like
no one comes for Harbaugh anymore ever since he just stuck Lamar Jackson in there and started running the wishbone, in Mike Preston's words. No one's come for Harbaugh, so I think he's cool. If the mustard pants are his idea, that's where his head's going.
Which maybe that speaks to the level of power that he's gained, because that was probably the peak of or the valley of his career at this point. It's just middle of a dead season in 2015. They get fucking smoked by the Chiefs in a game that I was unfortunately in attendance for. Charkendrick West ran for like 150 yards, and they're wearing those stupid fucking gold pants. They have Sam Cook attempting like a fake punt from midfield on their first drive after Jimmy Clausen stalled out. He takes it and like runs. It's like a 4th and 12. He runs like 4 yards right up the middle and nothing happened. Like it, one of the weirder games I've ever been in attendance for for a multitude of reasons.
That was a weird one. But yeah, gold pants.
Yeah, probably. I mean, listen, probably. And then Ben Rose for the last one tags us in a PFF tweet regarding Terrace Marshall Jr. The tweet says, has a perfect 158.3 passer rating when lined up at outside wide receiver over the past two seasons, first among all pass catchers. Ben is asking, does he make it past the first round?
I want to say,
I don't think he is. I think at the very end, somebody's going to talk themselves into him.
Terrace Marshall receiver rating. 133.7. Fuck you, PFF.
Oh, we're getting a little nerd beef here. I love it.
Nerd beef. SIS has 133.7. Is he making it out of the first round?
I think somebody, if he gets to 32.
That means.
I think if he gets to 32, somebody trades up to 32 and grabs him there.
How many? So we're going to assume he's at least the 5th receiver off the board.
Sure.
I could see him going ahead of Rashad Bateman, I guess, in some world. I would think that happens in 3 out of 10 drafts. Tony and Elijah Moore, second round guys, I guess. Let's go with no. Let's go with I agree with you, Jake. I think he's right at the end of the first round.
Okay. Well, that is all we had for the mailbag.
It was a good one. It was a fun one.
It was good. It was a nice, tight episode. Nice 50-minute mark. I like that a lot. And really appreciate everyone shooting the questions in here. Ton of fun, like we said. And just really good content to close out the week here as we head into Masters weekend. And the rest of the sports are heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. It's a great time.
Need Jordan Spieth to turn in a big performance over the next couple days.
Yeah, It's a little weird because he won last week, which was like everyone was waiting for him to break through with the big win, and everyone was pointing to the Masters, and it's like, oh, God, that's going to be the one that he gets it done. Pours a little cold water on it with a win at the Valero Texas Open where he gets gifted these strange cowboy boots as his trophy, essentially. And
those are sweet.
Yeah, they were funny, and he's coming into the Masters. But, yeah, good first round out of Jordan there. Going to have him run down Team Rose here as we get into the weekend and checking out some shout-out to my guy Phil. A big Jets fan who, for whatever reason, had all these Ravens vintage sports cards that he was willing to hand over to me for pretty much free of charge. I think I got to give him a round of golf or something to pay him back. But we got them proudly on display here now. And, yeah, this is going to be a part of the studio.
Oh, wow, that's a 10. That's a – wow. He's got a mint 10, Jamal Lewis. Is that a rookie?
I think so.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. He's got a mint gem 10. Jamal Lewis.
So we got all those. Phil, a big Jets fan, so he didn't really care. He just gave them to me. And I bought this one on my own, Vinny. So.
Testaverde.
Testaverde. So the collections come
green
together.
Green testicles.
Is that actually?
Verde?
Well, I know Verde is. I know that's green.
Please go on your computer.
We don't have to.
Search what are testicles.
Don't Google that.
No, that is not what it means.
Okay.
It means green balls.
Okay. Pelotas is balls, but you...
Pelotas. Melvin Mora, shout out, used to say, hasta la vista pelota every time he hit a home run.
Okay. That's actually kind of tight. Just really trying to land the plane here, and my wings are just awful.
I'm literally just pouring I'm pouring like liquid nitrogen.
You're fucking the, Harrison Ford in the back of the airplane yelling, I want my family back, getting into like grenade
I'm Nicolas
shootouts.
Cage. Yeah. I'm long-haired Nicolas Cage.
There's a map on the back of the Declaration of Independence, and I want to steal it.
And I'm not going to do what everybody thinks I'm going to do and freak out.
I need to watch that. I haven't seen it. But yeah, shout out to Nicolas Cage. Really appreciate everyone tuning in to this late week episode. And hope you guys are hyped for the episode coming on Tuesday, the Beatdown Big Board Receiver episode. That is an hour and a half banger of one that we're really excited for you guys to check out. And hope you guys continue to check out the what do we even call it? Was it just defensive tackles last week?
Interior defensive line.
So yeah, you know, go back and vote on that. We already got well into the hundreds on that. So keep hopping on that IDL train. Vote on what guys you like. And you can do that at Podcast Beatdown. That's where you can find the show on Twitter. You can find me at Jake Luke. That is LOUQUE. Spencer is at Ravens 4 Dummies. That's the number 4 in the middle. You can find our main account at BeMoreBeatdown. Find us on Instagram at Baltimore_Beatdown. Check us out on YouTube, Baltimore Beatdown, for video episodes of this show and more. And hit us up on iTunes. Leave us a little rating and review. And wherever else you get your pods as well, subscribe if you have not already. Really appreciate you guys tuning in. Hope you are ready for draft season to really hit a crescendo here as we head into the final weeks before it fully kicks off. We're really pumped, and we hope you guys are too. And until Tuesday, we will talk to you.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Gourlami. Gourlami.
Arrivederci.
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 Arrivederci. Arrivederci.